Amen. As all your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God, I have a very heavy burden, and the devil's fighting it, to share with the saints this morning, and this is who the message is to. It is to God's people. And I desire an interest in your prayers. I'm going to be hard-pressed to finish this morning. I'll just share that with you. There's a number of things that I believe that the Lord would have me to share with you. And I want to give all of you a challenge this morning, especially the young people. My boys, and I had shared some of this with my children, they told me, they said, "Dad, if you preach that, you won't be very popular." We're not here to be popular this morning, but I do want to give the young people a challenge this morning. If what is brought out this morning, if it doesn't fit your life, if it doesn't resonate with you, then that's all right. You don't have anything to feel bad about. If it touches and you know it's truth, then I would challenge you to prayerfully consider the warnings and some of the instruction that will be given this morning. Our world, in the burden I wrote on the board, is holiness in the technological age. Our world this morning is very different than the world that my grandparents grew up in. And the things that they faced, we're facing so much more today. We're facing the spread of evil as evil is spreading at a much faster rate today because we live in a global society. And what is done in one part of the world very quickly through the medium of television, internet, radio, the planes, quick communication, and quick travel, things are spreading very rapidly. And I have observed firsthand this happening in Africa. When I first went 15 years ago, when I first started going, most people, and a lot of them still don't, but they didn't have television. They had standards of modesty that were required in the country. Legally, and I've seen the spread westernization, and you can call it westernization, but I have seen the enemy through television, through movies, have been a large mode of how it spread, brought into those countries, and I've watched it start in the cities, and it's starting to filter down into the villages. And I've watched it firsthand, and it's only taken 15 years, whereas in this country, it's been a process of 50 to 60 years, probably. But it's happening because of the advancements of technology. Evil is spreading at a faster and faster rate. So we live in a very different world than what our grandparents did. Technology, to a large extent, has made our lives easier. And I'm glad, and I know my wife is too, I'm glad for a washing machine. And I'm glad to have an iron and a washer and dryer. That's technology. I'm thankful to have a car, and I appreciate the ability to get on a plane to go places instead of getting on a boat. That's a result of technology. Technology is not evil. Technology in and of itself is not wrong. Understand. But technology is advancing, and understand the enemy is going to use anything he can to deter us from a strong, close relationship with God. The enemy will work everywhere he can. Now, inventions of man in and of themselves are not evil or wrong. That's foundational. God gave us a brain. And you've heard this expression, God intended us to use it. And that means that the longer that God allows mankind to go on, the more experiences mankind will have, the more we will begin to understand the laws of mathematics and physics that God put into being. And as we apply those things, there will be inventions based on that. That's not wrong. But where the failure has come in advancement is God never intended the mind that He gave us in the experiences we have, He never intended those things to separate us from a relationship with God. And so then the enemy gets in the details of it. And those things that are invented that drive a wedge between us and our relationship with God, those are the things that we need to be aware of this morning. And there are going to be a number of things, by the help of the Lord, we're going to address this morning. Some of them probably just need to cut out of your life, period. And some of them are going to fall into the category of they're not sin. It's not wrong, but be careful how you use it. I have a cell phone. It's technology. Some of you say, I don't want one of those. That's okay. You're probably better off without one. But I'm going to get to the cell phone. But I want us to understand this is technology. Is this sin? It's not, but can it be used for wrong purposes? Can it drive a wedge the way I use it in my relationship with God? So we are interested this morning in not with a dogmatic approach to technology, but understanding what the foundation of the Scripture is in holiness in everything we do. Whether it's applied to technology, the places we go, the things we wear, whatever we do, the foundation of the Word teaches that God's people are to live a holy life. That's foundational. The devil will work everywhere he can to spread evil. And I will say that the world would be a much better place without a lot of the things that man has invented. But the Scripture never advocates a withdrawal from society. The Scripture does not advocate that we make our own little community and we call it Saintsville. And we go to Saintsville and we isolate ourselves from the world. Rather, Jesus gave us a different commission than that, didn't he? There are some people advocating holiness that want to withdraw in a protective mode. That is not what the Bible teaches us. Jesus taught us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But when you go out into the world, do not be contaminated by the evil of the world. And that means that in our homes, and I want to say to the parents this morning, if you don't know what I'm talking about, your children probably do. And it's time that you be educated as well. Because the enemy is working through some things that we need to be aware of what our children, young people are facing in this world and in this society. There's no redeeming value for us as a people to be different just to be different. Got a little support there. What Jesus taught us in the call of the gospel was that we be separated from the world in that we are living a holy life and pure. That means there are going to be things in this world that I'm going to cut myself off from. I'm going to distance myself from the evil and the uncleanness and those things that would be a hindrance in my relationship with God. But yet, the things that make us different then. Now, God's people are to be a different people, aren't they? Because by definition, what does church mean? Called out. Ecclesia, separated. Separated from what? Separated from the evil of the world. Separated from uncleanness. Separated from those things that separate us from God. And separated to a relationship, an exclusive, holy, pure relationship with God. That's what the Lord is interested in this morning. Let's back it up with Scripture. In the 17th chapter of John, beginning with verse 11, in Jesus' prayer, and he was praying for us. Do you know that? Jesus was praying for his disciples, but that prayer carries down to us still today. In verse 11 of the 17th chapter, he said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled," is referencing Judas here. "And now come I to thee, and these things speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Folks, God's desire is for His joy to be full in you this morning. And young people, I want you to know, and I can only speak for me, but I believe it applies to most of your parents. Our desire is not to make your life difficult. Our desire is that you would have a blessed life. In the best heritage that we can give you is to give you a heritage of holiness and purity. Something that will enable you to find that relationship with God for yourself. And it means then in the things that we allow in our homes, and it means in the things, the guidelines that we give, in the places we don't go, it's not to make life difficult, but rather it is to lay a foundation upon which you can build to find God for yourself, to keep you from the evil and contamination of the world. He went on to say then in his prayer, "And now come I to thee in these things." We read verse 13. Verse 14, he says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Folks, God's people are not of the world. That is fixed, and that is set, and it is backed up by multiple scriptures. Anytime you find a people that are professing to be God's people, and they are of the world, they are a false people. Because we are in the world, but we are not of it. Let's read on. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world." Folks, that's going to happen when we die and go to heaven. Jesus did not come advocating, keep in mind, a separate community. But within the world, he said, "I pray not thou take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil." Amen. Folks, we have something to do with that in the choices we make. We have, as a people, as families, and as individuals this afternoon, we have a lot to do with the choices that we make. Are we going to keep ourselves from the evil or not? It is God's desire and purpose that we separate ourselves from evil. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Amen. Scripture teaches, and I'm just going to reference a couple more verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." That is the call still today in a modern society, in a technological age. The call is still a call of holiness. And if you live a holy life, I will assure you, you are going to be different than the world. There are many that say we need to be like the world so we can reach out. And all I've seen is the world pulling people in the muck with them. Folks, the Lord has given us a high calling to live a holy life, which means pure, sacred, dedicated, devoted, and separate from the evil of the world. That is what we want to call people to, because it is there you will find the presence of God. Scripture says, Hebrews 12:14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness." Without what? "Without which no man shall see the Lord." Folks, if we don't live a holy life, we won't make it. We won't make it. It doesn't matter how we rationalize it. It doesn't matter how we justify it. It doesn't matter how many people are doing it. And so when we go to our parents and say, "But everybody's doing it," right there the red lights start going off. If everybody's doing it, I better figure out what's going on. Because the world, when we're called to be saints, called to live holy, dedicated, pure, it means we're going to be different than the world, folks. It's the result of what holiness does. Because the world is quickly falling deeper and deeper into darker and more evil sin. Sin's evil to start with. But the world, the evil and the influence and the lobby of the world is towards much gross wickedness. And it's coming into people's homes. We're inundated with it in the world, folks. We're inundated with it. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And I want to just use this by the help of the Lord to lay a foundation. In the Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 14, he said, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Folks, our desire and our purpose as God's people this morning should be to walk circumspectly. It means to use wisdom in the choices, the decisions, in everything that touches our life, that we would be wise. And that means then it would behoove us to look around us and see the choices that people are making and see where it takes them. There are some things that I could probably get into a lengthy debate with you about, and I could argue and advocate something to do that I know is not good for you spiritually, and I could sound pretty convinced of it. Do you recognize that that's what we heard last night in the message? That's what the devil does too. So just because we can argue our case does not change truth this morning. We need to walk circumspectly. Our desire should not be to get as close to the edge of the world as we can without falling off into sin. In other words, if our purpose is, well, can I do it and not sin? We're approaching it from the wrong standpoint. Because the scripture says, walk circumspectly. Don't get so close to the edge, because what will happen through time, you'll get lax and casual in your spirit and in your soul, and you'll end up losing your soul through time. So we need to be circumspect this morning. Foundation is holiness. But folks, we need to be aware that the enemy has laid a lot of traps. The enemy has laid a lot of traps for people, and I've seen it. Last number of years, with the advancement of technology, I've seen where the devil has started working. And I want, by the help and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tonight, to mention specifically some of those areas that the enemy is working. I don't have the luxury of spending a lot of time on every issue, but I trust that our minds will be stirred up, and as parents, we have a great responsibility. As we teach our children, as we set an example for them, as we guide them, folks, we have a great responsibility. The scripture says to raise them, how? In the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. Folks, the Lord desires our homes to be a haven of holiness. In everything, folks, our children and young people are inundated with the influences and pressures of the world. They have so much real life to deal with out there. I want them to experience the real life of a haven of holiness in my home. I do not want to bring those things that will draw my children away from God. I don't want to bring those things into my home at the expense of their soul. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 4, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I want to, by the help of the Lord, give a brief survey of some issues we need to be aware of. Not necessarily all of them issues of sin in and of themselves, but areas of caution. And I would, and my desire, my purpose, and my prayer is that it would be received with open hearts, with honesty. Deal with them on a scriptural foundation of holiness and a common sense approach. Because, folks, we live in a technological age. So if we're not going to go in our Saintsville community and isolate ourselves from the world, then how does the Lord want us to live? Folks, it comes down to holiness every time. Every decision, every choice, every place you go, everything you listen to, all the clothes you put on. The question is, number one, why am I doing it? How does it make me feel? Is it reflective of the Spirit of Christ? Is this beneficial for me spiritually? Do I begin to feel a little bit numb in my spirit when I imbibe in these things? Folks, that's what holiness is about. Maintaining a clearness and a carefulness. Being on the cutting edge with God, not on the cutting edge of the world, see? That's what the Lord desires. Folks, if we want to make it, we need to walk circumspectly. I want to take a few minutes, just a little bit of time, and deal with the subject of television. Brother Dan mentioned last night that even if 400 prophets got together and voted on something, folks, that doesn't change truth. I want you to know that I appreciate the heritage that we have as God's people. I appreciate this morning those that have gone before us and set a godly example. I appreciate it. So I'm not undermining it by my next statement. Understand that foundation. But I want you to know, just because a group of ministers voted on something sometime or other and signed a letter, it doesn't change truth. Because they could have voted and done it the opposite way. You see, so when we begin to measure our life, take the example and the heritage of those that have gone before us. If you've seen God bless their life, you better be real careful before you go against that. Where you see God's blessings and you begin to deviate from it, I've seen it through the years, and I'm sure you have too. Seeing people deviate, say, we don't have to do that, it doesn't matter. Watch where they go. See where they end up, and I'll tell you, it doesn't take very long before people break away from the careful standards that the saints have, yes, traditionally held because of principles of holiness. You will find that more often than not, those people end up far, far away from pure, simple, black and white teaching of the Word of God. It has proven itself time and time again. So I want to give us a caution to be very careful. If you think you have it figured out a little bit better than those that have gone before, you better just stop. You better stop, because folks, the devil's in the details. You heard that. The devil gets in the details. And folks, just because you think you can argue your point, truth does not change. And truth is not going to change by what I say from behind this pulpit this afternoon. Folks, truth stands on its own merits. Truth stands on its own merits. It has been the general practice and standard of the saints to abstain from having a television in the home. Folks, it's been the right decision. It's the right way to live. It'll keep you from dealing with a lot of problems that you'll deal with if you bring one of those in your home. Folks, we have it. It's been the avenue. The television has been the avenue of the spread of evil, probably faster than any other medium to date than anything else in society. It is in a lot of the actual programs, it's what's on in between them. That's just fact. There are many good, solid, sound reasons that decision has been made as a people. But do you realize, as we heard last night again, you're going to have to get to a place, just like I am, that we have some conviction for ourselves that goes beyond, well, a group of ministers said, so I do whatever they say. That only carries you so far, folks. The devil's going to come. There's going to come a place in life. The devil's going to contest that with you. And we need to come to a place that we have understanding on a sound basis of holiness and purity why it's best for me to separate myself from something that has caused the downfall of many a person. I mentioned the term haven of holiness. Isn't that what our homes ought to be? I want to ask the parents, is your home a haven of holiness? You're not answerable to me, but folks, we are answerable to God. And I am answerable to God to what I bring into my home. Is your home a haven? Keep in mind, holiness, purity, sacred, devoted to God, sanctified. When we bring a television into the home, folks, it does have an influence on our children. I read a study, and it's been a number of years ago, so I can't quote you who said it and where it came from. They said the television was the number one means of influence in this country. Now, then the question is, who's doing the influencing? If my home is to be a place that I want to be a refuge from the evil of the world, I'm going to have to take a stand against some things, folks. I have to take a stand against some things. And I will not stand here and tell you that every single thing on television is bad. It's not. People used to use the term moving picture. Well, I watch you and people move, and that's life. So whether it's a still picture or a moving picture, that's not the point this morning. But the point is, how does this influence me? How does this affect me? Is this something that is pure and holy? Or does it get to... Folks, the world is inundated with the lust of the flesh, isn't it? The world's inundated with it. Why then would I bring that into my home? Why then would I bring that and have my children under that kind of influence? Folks, as adults as well, this isn't just to children. We are called to purity. We're called to be careful, circumspect. How can we then, as responsible advocates of holiness, have this thing playing in our home that's showing very impure pictures? It's going to happen. You turn on a television for very long, it will be there. So how can I then, as an advocate of holiness to my children, say, here, children, let's watch this together. How can I do that? As a child of God, folks, I can't. Because it has an impact. It influences. And if we sit back and say, oh, it doesn't affect me, who are we trying to fool? It does affect us. It influences how we feel. It influences the desire. Well, I don't feel like having worship now. Why? Because my mind is so full and occupied with the things of the world. Folks, there's a reason why, and again, I'll put it on me personally, why I've made a personal choice not to have one in my home. Nearly 2 out of every 3 television programs contains violence. Statistically. We going to bring that into our home? It has an effect. I'm going to read you what the National Institute of Mental Health said. They said the consensus among most of the research community, and this is over a wide range of research. Much research has been done on television, and I wish I could spend the whole time on that. I don't have the luxury. But understand, they said this, the consensus among most of the research community is that violence on television does lead to aggressive behavior by children and teenagers. Not all children become aggressive, of course, but the correlations between violence and aggression are positive. In magnitude, television violence is as strongly correlated with aggressive behavior as any other behavioral variable that has been studied. Folks, that's a strong statement. There is a direct correlation between the violence that is on television and aggressiveness in children. And we wonder why in our society, children can't sit still in school. Children's concentration level isn't what it used to be. Folks, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Children's minds and emotions are formed based on what they see. And folks, it is truth that if we bring television into the home, it does have an impact on what they see. And right with the violence, impurity of the flesh. The relationship between a boy and a girl, a man and a woman that is unmarried, is to be pure, holy, sacred, set apart. But our world is so inundated with touching in the physical relationship between unmarried people and even adultery, that it's getting even... May I preach where we live? Thank you. Even among the saints, there's not the carefulness that there ought to be between boys and girls. We are paying a price this morning. And it goes beyond television. What was the next step? Videos and DVDs. And now, what is it, Blu-rays, the new technology. These things, it doesn't matter whether it's reel to reel. It doesn't matter. The medium doesn't matter. But what's important is, what is this doing to my soul? And the casualness that is in between boys and girls, they think, well, we're going together. So all of a sudden, no bars, all everything goes. Folks, purity, holiness, godliness, carefulness. But when we bring this in our home and people see this, and that's what they're inundated with, how do we expect them to act different if we're not laying a good, solid foundation of carefulness and godly living. Who's doing the influencing then? Do you know that Hollywood, and you can argue with me if you want, but Hollywood does have an agenda. I hope you don't think I'm some old fogey up here. Folks, Hollywood has an agenda. They are involved in some of the most liberal, left-wing causes in our society that are very, very far from what the Scripture teaches. The political correct term, alternative lifestyle. Do you know who's promoting that? It's Hollywood. The media is inundated with it. And you think we're not being affected by it? It's because everything that they're putting out, a lot of it, they start slipping stuff in. To try maybe, you say, well, we would never do that, that's wrong. But they will try to lower our defenses. To try to make us think it's not so bad, I won't do that. But yet it's just commonplace and accepted. Folks, that's why the world is very quickly going more and more that direction, because they're inundated with it. We then have a responsibility to take a stand against those things that will even begin to influence me in that direction. Holiness. University of Michigan did a study. They said, well, and this is the world study, okay? Understand, this isn't a group of ministers even. If you can't take it from the ministers, can you take it from the world? It seems like, what's the scripture say? A prophet with honor saving his own country? Without honor saving his own country? Seems like sometimes people take stuff from the world better than they do behind the pulpit. 1 in 4 college students said that they still experience lingering effects of a frightful movie or TV experience from childhood. Those effects range from inability to sleep to avoidance of situations portrayed in movies. And people try to say, it's no big deal. I can watch what I want and it doesn't affect me. It does affect people. I'm going to give you a concrete example. I was at camp meeting. Little boy, I didn't know him. I was talking to him. It was just a few months ago. I was talking to him, and really, it's not my job to go talk to this boy's parents. But parents, I hope you know what your children are watching. I hope you know what your children are doing. I'm hearing a lot of things that your children are doing. And I say that in love this morning. And if my boys, if you find out that you let me know. But I want you to know there's a lot of things going on that are very contrary to the scriptural foundation of holiness. And sometimes I wonder, do parents know what their young people are doing? Do they really know where they're going and what they're watching? Or do they not care? Folks, God's interested this morning. The Lord is interested because He wants us to make it. I want my children to make it. I want them to find a place with God. And I want to provide an environment in my home that's conducive to godliness. Little boy came up to me and I was talking to him. And I told him I'd flown on a plane. I think he asked how I got there. And I told him I flew on a plane. He said, I'd never fly on a plane. I said, well, why? I saw the advertisements on a billboard somewhere. Snakes on a plane. And if you watch it, shame on you. But understand, he watches movies, Snakes on a Plane. I never get on a plane because there's snakes on. I don't know what it's about. But it made an impression on that boy. It made an impression. And I said, well, I guess you take the train. Oh no, I can't take the train. And there was some movie he watched about a train that something bad happened on. Folks, that's not an isolated case. Children are impacted by what they watch. There is a good, solid reason why we shouldn't bring this stuff into our homes. Quote the American Academy of Pediatrics, a group of doctors. They recommend, and folks, I'm not recommending what they recommend, I take it a lot further. But they recommend that explicitly, for children under 2 years old, that they watch no television. And those older than 2, they said, watch no more than 1 to 2 hours a day of quality programming. Now, that's difficult to find. The reason they said that is because the first 2 years of life are considered some of the most important times of cognitive development, of interaction, exploring, forming social bonds with people. And folks, it doesn't stop at 2 years old. I want us to understand that if we babysit, now we're going to start moving off into another area of the technological age. You say, well, I don't have a TV in my home. I took a stand against the TV. Won't have one in my home. So you know what the devil did? Yes. VCRs. Yes. Devil's a pretty smart fella. Take a stand against the television because of the effect. Let me add something else before we go there. And this gets into that area. But television, folks, it's a time killer. Yes. Do you believe that? It kills time that could be spent much more profitably sitting in a chair doing nothing. That's truth. Television, it kills time. It becomes addictive. Got to get to the end of the program. And so other things that need to be done are put on hold. Folks, the statistics prove it. It happens over and over. I'm just giving you a few other little reasons to go along with this. Concentration. Do you know what happened, what television does in movies? We're just tying together now. What they do is they change. They say the major scene changes every 6 seconds on a screen, whether it's television or a movie. Changes every 6 seconds. And so the mind is never able to fully focus in on one thing, but it's jumping here to there to there. Do you know how many people, and for those that really have it, my heart goes out to him, and I'm not undermining it. But do you know how many people are being diagnosed with attention deficit disorder?
That's true.
How many children in school cannot sit still? There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. And it's because they've been too inundated with the flash of the screen. Folks, it has an effect. Levels of concentration, the ability to think, the ability to focus. And we want to say, well, I don't have a TV, but you know what dulls the senses? You watch a movie, you watch something, it dulls the senses and undermines that keenness of mind and spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to use in you for something beneficial and for a good cause. Folks, and we wonder why then when sometimes we come to service and there's this dullness. I was saddened a while back. I was in this part of the country for a meeting. It doesn't matter where I was, but had a revival going on, drove by McDonald's, and there's a group of saints standing out there by the Red Box. Is it Red Box at McDonald's? Sells movies. I guess they had a night of entertainment instead of coming out to meeting. Folks, I want to tell you, it has an effect on your children. It changes priorities. It changes the focus for your children. People wonder why their children misbehave. Question is, what have they been watching? There's enough of that to deal with just with children in general without adding that dimension of violence, the dimension of lustful things. Folks, we have enough of it to face out in the world without bringing it into our homes. I trust you all still love me before I'm done because I'm not finished. If you take a stand against television, said the enemy brought in the... I say the enemy. Nothing is wrong in and of itself with a VCR. There's nothing sinful or evil in that box. There's not a little imp in it. But I want you to understand, when technology is used as a source of entertainment, you will find the enemy is working in it. It doesn't matter what means you use or what mode. Like I said, whether it's reel-to-reel, whether it's a video, whether it's a DVD or a Blu-ray or whatever it is, you're going to find that the enemy will begin incorporating things in there that begin to deviate from a standard of holiness. So then, some people took a stand against that. They realized the reason that people were bringing this in their home, using it as a source of entertainment. And like I said, the devil's pretty smart. So DVDs came out. Is anything wrong with DVDs? Not in and of themselves, the technology. But do you know, I didn't ever have a VCR in my home. Drew a line there. But you know, I do have a computer. And you know what those computers have in them? They have a DVD player. Devil knows what he's doing. It's not that the computer's wrong, and we're going to address it by the help of the Lord. But the way that it's used, see, he wants to make it convenient to deviate from holiness, folks. He wants to make it as convenient for us as possible to try to start bringing things in our home that we have to. What happens with it is, with movies, with using these things as a source of entertainment, some people it starts off innocently, okay? So I don't want anybody to go home and feel like, well, Brother Michael said, but I want to tell you where it leads more often than not. People, sometimes they start off innocently, and it's not to say that every story is wrong. I would not say that. But what it starts doing is whetting the appetite for something more. And even though it's innocent in and of itself, it still affects the concentration of your children. I want to warn you, parents, if you use a DVD or a VCR to babysit your children, you are erring. And I'm just going to say it like it is. You're erring, and your children are going to pay the price. Because it does affect their concentration level. It does affect their desire to do other things. And what happens when we begin to look at what's behind movies, it gives a false sense of reality. Isn't that true? It gives an escape for people, and I will tell whether it's in relationships or whether it's just in experiences of life, they give a false sense of reality that children are affected by, and I want to be like them, the one I saw. I want to be like that. I want to do that. And folks, we are then bringing false expectations to our children that they will never have what they have seen. And it's at the expense many times of their soul. So then we have to get down to fundamentals, don't we? What's the standard? What's the standard? Standard's holiness, folks. That's the standard. That's the Bible standard is holiness. Purity. Okay. Is this thing pure? How does it affect my relationship with God? Am I doing the other things that I need to be doing? Where I mentioned it starts innocently a lot of times, and it does. Many people then, they have to start ignoring little things. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Start ignoring just, you know, a word here and there interspersed in what I think is pretty good. You know, that doesn't affect us. It does affect us, folks. The little things, the little foxes spoil the vines. The little things do affect us, folks. And this is where it starts. It starts out with innocence, sometimes, in innocency, little bit of entertainment, and it begins to grow until, well, we have to kind of overlook this. If you have to overlook it, you ought not to have it in your home. If you have to overlook it, it's affecting your children. Some of you heard this little illustration. I may not get it just right. But these children were watching some movies and they wanted their dad to watch with them. And they said, Dad, this one's a good movie. It's good. There's just maybe one word that shouldn't be in there, but it's just one little thing. It's no big deal. That it's good. Dad went into the kitchen, made up some brownies. And in the brownies, he just put a little bit of dog manure. Folks, this is life. It didn't sound real appetizing. But then he gave them the brownies and said, Children, this is good brownies. They're good. They're good chocolate and the best ingredients. And there's just a little bit of this in it. Think they wanted to eat it? Folks, then where do we... You see the common analogy when it comes to what we bring in our home? There's just a little bit. It will have an effect. And we should have an abhorrence against bringing evil and those things that will cause our children to deviate from that foundation of holiness into our home that's to be a haven. What also tends to start happening is children, that watch movies, and I'll say that as a steady diet, that the culture that they are more comfortable with is the culture that is portrayed on those movies as opposed to a culture and lifestyle of holy living. See, as parents, don't we have a responsibility then? Let's move on. And I will just say that some of you parents might be surprised at what your young people have watched. And if you don't know, don't stay in your failure. And I say that with love this morning, because there is a price this morning that I am watching right among God's people. There's a price being paid among the young people. And I can't say this is the only cause, but I will say this is one of them. This is one of them. And it's a sad commentary to me when people can come to camp meeting in Sunday school and talk without shame. Yes. About their favorite movies and what they want to do and what they've been watching. And they do it without shame. Go on the grounds at camp meeting and invite the young people to come watch movies. Yeah. Folks, that's a reproach. As a people, we believe, not because a group of ministers voted sometime or other, but when we come down to what the Bible teaches us to live holy and pure and sacred and devoted to God, to keep sharp mental edge. Whereas movies, folks, and television, these things, they dull that. Yes. They dull the senses. And moving on, Luke 21, says in verse 34, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." He said, "Watch ye there and pray." Oh, dear ones, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Keep in mind this morning some of these things that we need to eradicate and cut out. And there are some other things that I am not going to say, that there aren't some things that maybe you can do in the Lord's approval. He may not just disapprove of it, and you might be able to do and maintain your experience. But I wanted to tell you this morning, be careful. Be very, very careful and be aware of where the enemy is working. Overcharged. Do you know that's what being in front of the screen does? It overcharges the senses. And we come to camp meeting and people say, "Well, the Holy Spirit's not, don't feel the keenness. Don't feel the conviction." This is one of the reasons, folks. And I believe I'm not wrong in saying that's said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons, is because people's senses are being dulled because they're overcharged. Because they're overcharged, that they can't hear that still, soft voice of the Holy Spirit. Will you give me some more time? We have classes that last 3 hours sometimes. Y'all go to seminars and trainings. So if you can just sit back and... I will do that this morning, Brother Philip, Lord willing. Computers. Holiness in a technological age. Computers, folks, are a reality of life that we live in. It's reality. Many of us need computers for work, for communication, it's a tool. It's a tool. It's a wonderful tool. But at the same time, the devil will use every good thing that he can to try to promote his cause. The enemy will do that. And that means then that we need to be aware with the computer of what's going on. What's it being used for? And I may touch on this again, but folks, anytime something becomes a source of entertainment, whatever medium it's through, you will usually find that the devil starts taking advantage of it. That's what happens. Like to touch on the subject of computer games. We're talking about holiness in the technological age. See, my grandparents didn't have to deal with that issue. The principle and foundation of everything we do is holiness. And that needs to be applied to what's on the computer. I want to give you another statistic. Children ages 8 to 18 spend an average of 44 and a half hours a week in front of a screen. Parents in the world are increasingly concerned that screen time is robbing their children of real-world experiences. Ought not we as children of God ought to be concerned about the same thing, folks? Listen to this statistic. 23% of young people, 23%. Now, if you're sitting here and you don't realize how this message is applicable to godliness, we're living, this is where we're living. 23% of young people feel like they're addicted to computer games. 23%. So I believe that the Lord is interested then in how we approach this subject. The Lord's interested. 23% feel like they're addicted to it. When we begin to apply the principle of holiness, I think we have to examine some of these fundamental things. First of all, is it pure? Folks, parents, young people, if your computer game is out shooting people, you may laugh, but...
Or running over them.
I want to tell you something about cartoons. People say cartoons, they're harmless. You know what the studies of the world show? Cartoons aren't harmless. They said that there is more, and I didn't write this statistic down, I read it when I was doing some research on the subject. But a large percentage of cartoons have violence in them, and they have found that it does affect children that watch them. Okay, now bring this thought into computer games. Can we apply the principle of holiness to it? Can we apply and say, is it pure? Is it godly? Is it a good use of my time? No, I want us to hold off a minute now. Listen a moment. Nothing's wrong with playing a game in and of itself. Is that right? But we have to concede. If you sit around playing Monopoly all day, every day, I'd say there's a problem, wouldn't you? So this is, I'm not against technology this morning. Young people, I'm not against technology. But understand, it ought to be a tool for us. And nothing's wrong with playing a game of Monopoly. I mean, I don't have a personal conviction against it. I enjoy a game of it. But the fact of the matter is, if someone was doing it all the time, it would become a problem. And you'd have to start applying these same principles. So these principles of holiness apply to everything that we do. So it ought to apply to computer games as well. Is it holy? Is it pure? Is it sacred? How is it influencing the children? And I want to say that there is something that is captivating by computer games because there is the animation behind it. And I will say that if your children haven't, I believe I'll give full disclosure, okay? My children play computer games sometimes. I can tell you how much time they're in front of it. And I can tell you what kind of stuff they're doing too. They're limited, and this is where I've drawn the line. I'm not drawing your line. Maximum 30 minutes a day. Maximum. They don't do it on Wednesdays and Sundays, and that's where I'm at. And I may change later, but that's where I'm at. And the reason is that children become addicted to it, and they're inundated with it, and they don't want to do their work. Children's homework suffers, their schoolwork suffers, their social interaction suffers, their exercise suffers. That's where we live, folks. As children of God, again, let's apply the principles of holiness. I'm going to go a step further with it. You may say, well, oh, another thing to examine is, do they get cranky when they can't do it? That ought to tell us something as parents. It ought to tell us something. And do you know there are some games that they can play? Again, a game, whether it's on the board or computer, that's not the issue, okay? Keep in mind. But when you play Monopoly or you play Clue, there's no music going along with it. And I want to caution us that you may say the game in and of itself, it meets the litmus test of holiness. But I have also found that a lot of things that maybe are really harmless and nothing's wrong with it in and of itself, the music that's being played during it is very contrary to the spirit of holiness. And it makes it a little bit difficult then if I sit my children down and said, boys, now we don't listen to rock and roll. And these are the reasons. This is the reason why it's not spiritually beneficial. It'll take you down the wrong path to listen to this kind of music. Folks, does music affect us? It does me. I have to watch it sometimes. Be walking down through some of the music playing, and pretty soon I've got to watch it because I'm affected by music. And you could say that ought to be sanctified out of you. Folks, music has an effect on people. And so that's why we have to guard ourselves in what we listen to and what we do. And it makes it a little bit hypocritical or a little difficult to try to teach my children this music isn't spiritually beneficial for you. And then we allow them in our home to go listen to the same kind of music on a harmless computer game. And we wonder why young people and children are deviating more and more, deviating into listening to music they ought not to be listening to, and it is damaging spiritually, and we wonder why. What are we allowing in our home? I put that out for us to give some consideration to. On that note of music, I have an iPod sitting at home. I won't ask how many people have iPods, but iPods have, the invention of the iPod revolutionized the music industry in this world. Technological advancement. You can have just a little old thing, and I don't know how many gigabytes they have on them now. 8 maybe? I don't know. You can put a lot of music on that. And used to, I remember, I was telling my family, I remember growing up, that every once in a while you'd see people, you know, out of school or something, they'd walk down the road, and they'd have Walkmans was kind of the deal. And this was a little bit of a stereotype, if you'll allow me. But the ones that had them on were the guys that were long hair, greasy hair. They were the headbangers. They were the rockers, the hoods, we used to call them. Now, those were the ones that had that. Do you know now you see people from all walks of life out in society, their ears plugged up? Is anything wrong with an iPod? Not in and of itself. See? Not in and of itself. But I want to also give us a little warning there. If it's used to isolate you from your family, it's time to pull the plugs out. If it's time to isolate you from the social interactions that are going around, it's too much. And so there's nothing wrong with it in and of itself. But here's something else to consider. What are you listening to? And I'm not even going to, I don't have time to deal with that. But what are we listening to then? Or does what we're listening to on the iPod, folks, it's technology. Nothing's wrong with it in and of itself. But understand, it is becoming a preoccupation for many people. They're addicted to it and they're obsessive about it. Now that's out in the world. I'm saying we need to be careful then. As God's people, apply the litmus test of holiness to what you're listening to then. What's it doing to your senses? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it godly? How does it make you feel? Are you using it as an escape to minister to the mood that you're in? It becomes an escape for life, from life, for many people. And they don't have to interact socially. Got the earplugs in. Parents, and if your children, young people have iPods, do you know what they're listening to? That's just a question I'm putting out there for you to consider. Do you know what they're doing with the technology that in and of itself is not wrong? Do you know what they're doing with it? God has given us the responsibility this afternoon. Question is often asked and has been asked in the past is, what is the difference between the television and the internet? A stand was taken against the television as a body, collectively, years ago. And there was a lot, has been a lot of discussion through the years on this. The difference is this. The primary purpose of a television is for entertainment today. That's the primary purpose of a television. The internet, on the other hand, is, as you all well know, is a network or an interlinking of information the world over. And it brings it into our own home. And I will say, if the internet for you is a source of entertainment, you will find the enemy at work. That's what I have observed. If it's used as a source of entertainment. Because what has happened is everything with all this available information with the internet, you know, televisions are going extinct because it's on the internet now. She said, I didn't have a television in my home, but guess what? You can get TV on your internet now if you know where to go. It's there. You can find about anything you want. So then, what's the standard? Standard hasn't changed, folks. The standard is holiness. And it's going to take a lot more power. Understand me. It takes a lot more power and carefulness from the Holy Spirit when the availability is in the privacy of my own home and I didn't have to go out and buy a television. I didn't have to go out and buy a VCR. It came packaged up on the computer. I signed on the internet and it's there. The standard of holiness has not changed. But folks, the devil has trapped, and I have prayed with many a person, the enemy has laid traps there. The enemy has laid a lot of traps, and as parents, we need to be careful. The internet, is, if it's going to be used in a holy way, it's a tool. It's not a source of entertainment. It is a tool, like a chainsaw or a gun. There is a proper use for it. But if you misuse it, guess what it'll do? It'll kill you. The internet has killed. I don't know how many people that have sat in these pews here this morning. The internet has killed them spiritually. You may think, Brother Michael, why are you talking about things? Because this is where we live. The standard has not changed, folks. And it applies across the board. The internet offers for some people an escape from feelings and troubling situations. They sacrifice sleep. They sacrifice family time. Shouldn't that start telling us something? If we observe that taking place, walk circumspectly. And people have, there are many people that have shaped, have formed a fantasy world online. And that's their escape. Do you know the problem with that is, one of the problems is that those are areas, just like with music, that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to us when we have needs. But if you're feeling kind of blue and you're feeling a little down, do you know it ministers just like it did to Saul to kind of listen to something kind of bluesy and just something that kind of meets your mood that you're in. And time isn't given to the Holy Spirit to come in and minister to the feelings and emotions that we all have. And so if we find an escape, whether it's through music or whether it's through the computer usage of some kind, we are beginning to fill an area of our life that the Holy Spirit wants to fill. Socially, people are instant messages, emails, texting, rather. There's a danger there, folks, and nothing's wrong with it in and of itself, but do you know that when people learn to do that and fail to establish and learn how to interact socially with people, it will have an effect on us spiritually? And I know I'm going long this morning. If you need to get up and stretch your legs or go to the restroom, that's all right. Principles apply still of godliness here. We are inundated with information, folks, and this is a caution. We are inundated with information. And I find that what's happening is with something lawful, okay? Something lawful. When it begins to intrude on devotions, when you get up, are you ready to go, have devotions or check your emails or check the stock market or check the news or what. I know what I'm talking about because it's affected me. The Lord had to come along more than once, ready to see what's going on in the world and see what the market's doing and see what's... Folks, God wants to be number one in our life. God wants to be number one. So although you can put your stamp of holiness on it, we have to come back down to foundationals and say, how is it affecting me? Where are my priorities? How am I using it? And we need to keep things in their proper perspective. It's been a downfall for many. And folks, again, parents, if you let your children keep a loaded gun in the room, that's not wise, is it? If your children have access online in the privacy of their room, I'm going to speak this by permission, not by commandment, okay? My opinion is that you are grossly erring. Because we are all tempted. We are all prone to temptation. And if we don't keep things in a place of safety and carefulness, if our children use the internet, there will be things that happen. More often than not, something will happen. And we have a responsibility in our home, folks. Haven of holiness. That's where the Lord wants us to stay. I told my children a while back, I said, you know what curiosity did? Killed the cat. You know, the little expression? Well, same thing applies. You get to where all of this information is available online, and you say, well, through innocency or through curiosity, folks, there's been a lot of people damaged by it. And I want to say we need to be very, very careful as parents. Social networks. See, we're talking about holiness in the technological age. Social networks. Someone preached at Monarch this year, and I think I know what they were saying. They didn't just spell it out. I'm going to spell it out this morning. They said, we know what you're doing. They've been on a social network, I think. Tell you what, it's social network. I guess most of y'all know what that is, don't you? A lot of social networks that are out there, folks, a lot of them are no place for child of God. A lot of them out there, it's no place for a child of God to be. A social network is no place for a child of God to seek for a companion or to advertise themselves for a companion. It is not a place for our young people to try to form relationships between boys and girls. Parents, it's our responsibility. And young people, I trust that you will understand the danger behind it. There is... I don't want to say I'm waiting on this to happen, but I'm going to go a step further. On social networks, there can become a familiarity between even married people that I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, because there's communication back and forth. Two separate people who are both in good marriages, and they start communicating, start forming bonds, social bonds, getting familiar with one another, becoming involved in each other's life. And when they see each other, there it's different. Yeah. It's different. And folks, I'm not going to say I prophesy it, but I'm waiting. And I'm sure it's happened already with people we don't know about out in the world, that there were bonds that started in a social networking environment. I want to just caution you to be very careful. A lot of those places you need to cut out. And I'm not saying, I know there are a few places that are a little more wholesome and maybe nothing's wrong with it, but I want to say be very careful. And parents, do you know what your children have up? That's a question for you. I know what some of your... That doesn't sound personal, but maybe it sounds personal. I know what some of the children have up. And I just wonder, do parents really know what their children are doing? Do they know what the children are talking about? Do they know the places they're going? And we're not talking about pushing the limit now, folks. We're talking about far away from what holiness is all about. This is a reality where we're living this morning. I don't mean this as an indictment, but it's a warning and a caution, folks. As parents, we need to know what's going on in our homes. And then when parents get up and talk about how their children are saved and just working for the Lord and doing so much, I'm sitting back scratching my head thinking, what's happening? Where's the disconnect? Do they not know, or do they not care, or do they not think it matters, or what? Folks, the enemy is working hard to steal our children. We're in a technological age. We don't just throw everything out, but folks, we need to approach it with caution and carefulness in the Lord. I'm about finished. Cell phones. Like, that's my last major point. I have one, obviously, and nothing's wrong with it in of itself. I just want to give you a statistic, though. Okay? A couple of them. They say, and my boys told me I was out of date on this one. My statistic is 2 years old. I didn't even go look for an up-to-date statistic. Children ages 13 to 17. Over 50% of children ages 13 to 17 have a cell phone. Now, that was a study done 2 to 3 years ago. And I am sure that it's probably quite a bit higher. Now, some of you may be sitting there, I don't have one, mom and dad, are you getting that? Everybody has one. But understand something, that just because everybody has one doesn't mean, and I want to give a little sound, if you will allow me, I think it's sound, counsel and advice to parents. If your children have a cell phone, the question is, why do they have it? I will tell my son, I tell him it's my cell phone, he uses it. I let him know it's mine, though. The purpose is to communicate with me. The purpose is to communicate with his parents, because when he's gone quite a bit and involved in other things, it's a means of communication. That's important. I'm glad he has it. But I want to tell you what cell phones are being used for. I'm going to say out in the world, but I want to tell you it's come right among the saints too, okay? 20 to 60% of young people use cell phones and email. And I'm just going to tie those two together. We're talking about communication now. 20 to 60% of young people that have cell phones and use email are using them. And there is a term for it. And so I don't offend anybody. I'm not going to use a term. Young people probably know it. But it's used to send provocative text or images. 20 to 60% of young people are doing it with their cell phones. That's why I'm addressing it. There are things, and the caution is this, with email and with cell phones, that it is easy to text something that you would not say in person. And what's happening is there are barriers between boys and girls that are being broken down because they're so free to share their feelings and thoughts that they need to conquer and have under subjection to the Holy Spirit. And they're using texting to communicate those things between boys and girls. And there's a barrier that's broken down. And used to, when two people are courting and maybe they're engaged or getting close to marriage, there are things they have to talk about and things, and they're right there before that place of marriage. That's happening between boys and girls that are in no condition to even consider marriage at this point. And there are barriers that are being broken down. And then when they start going through, they've already talked about things that should be right before you get married. And there's barriers that are broken down and things escalate and the relationship becomes physical. That's a caution. That is happening with the cell phone. And I will just give a little caution about this. Do you know call waiting? I don't like call waiting. Call waiting is rude. And I'll just tell you why. If you call me, you're taking my time. And you say, oh, I have another call coming in. Can you hold? What you're saying is someone else is more important. So I'm not telling you, I'm not preaching against call waiting, understand. But when we come to service then, oh, the phone rings in church and, oh, I've got to go get that. This is an important call. You're putting God on hold. That's what you're doing. I have something more important. I'm putting God on hold. So I would just suggest, while we're on the subject of the technological age, let's not put God on hold. Let's turn off the call waiting. on God. Because we have little enough time that we set aside to worship God. I trust you'll accept that in the spirit in which it's given. But I would that we understand that there are things through email and texting that are happening. In all of these things, parents, how do we handle it? I want to wrap this up. We need to be observant. We need, and I will tell you on the cell phone what I told my son. I said, I don't want you deleting any text or messages or phone calls that come in. That's my phone. And so then, from time to time, I'll take it and I'll clear it. The other day I saw someone, I said, who's that? And he told me who. Okay. That's just what I do. If your children have it, you need to know what's going on. They can delete individual things, but you know, if you're the one getting the bill, it tells how many messages come in. And I'm not trying to teach you to be devious, but young people know how to do these things. There are ways you can look, and I trust you're able to trust your children, young people. But folks, we need to be aware of what it's being used for, what's going on with it, how much time is being spent on it. We need to be observant. We need to know what our children are doing. And I want to encourage you to set reasonable guidelines when it comes to technology of those things that you can put the stamp of holiness on. Set reasonable guidelines and expectations and stick with it and share with your children the reasons and the cautions and the carefulness and where the enemy is working. Folks, we want to promote holiness. We want to see our children be successful. I'd like to close with one other scripture, and I appreciate your time this morning. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, it said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Folks, with the advancements, I don't know what the advancements will be in the next 50 years in this technological age that we're living in. But what I do know is that the foundation of holiness has not changed. How I spend my time, why I spend my time there, if it's pure, if it's godly, if it's dulling my senses, how it affects my concentration, how I interact with people, my relationships with those of the opposite gender. Folks, all of those things come into play, and that standard does not change with whatever advancements come on. And there are some things, folks, in life that it is better if you think something is lawful. It would be better this morning to cut it out of your life than to lose your soul over it. If it's something that you're saying you can't control and you're looking around and say, well, everybody else is doing it, that's really not what's important, is it? What's important is, how is this affecting my relationship with God? How is it touching my life? How is it affecting me? And so that's why Jesus, I believe this is what he was talking about, why he said, if your eye offend you, what did he say to do? So to pluck it out. It would be better to go through life blind or maimed than to lose your soul over something that's lawful. And if I pluck my eye out, it's not my job to say, well, I'm without an eye. You all have both. I'm going to pluck yours out too. That's not my job. That's not what I'm doing here this morning. But I'm saying, if there's an area that you're becoming under the power or the bondage or negative influence of some of these things, then you may need to pluck your eye out, even though it's lawful, that you would keep your soul and your walk with God intact. I appreciate your time. You pray for me. I don't have all the answers this morning. We need the Lord's wisdom as we raise our families and children. But folks, this foundation of holiness has not changed. And I trust that it will still apply in our midst in 10 years, in 20 years, that this principle has not changed. Amen.